The scripture reading for today will be from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God."
To take just a moment to say Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers who are out there. What a blessing it is to know godly women who can be wonderful role models, as well as who can teach their children to walk in the paths of Christ. Happy Mother's Day to you. The Bible is filled with many role models for us to examine. Scripture teaches us of the life of Noah, Abraham, and we could look at their lives. We could think about Joseph even as well. What a great example of a young man who understood how to be pleasing unto God and wouldn't do anything in his life that would separate him from God in that way, and made those moral and right choices to be faithful unto God, no matter what it costed him in life. We can think about Moses, who was the great leader of Israel. We can think about Joshua, who was would follow in his steps and lead Israel into the promised land and conquer Canaan. You think about King David. You think about the prophet Daniel. There are numerous and wonderful great men that we could study in Scripture, but there are also some great women that we can look to for role models and great examples of how to be faithful unto God. We could study the life of Sarah. We could talk about Esther or Ruth. But in this lesson, we want to focus on another woman of faith, and that is Hannah. We find her story in 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2. And so I wish that you would grab your Bibles. Let's open them up together, and we want to read this great lesson on Hannah, a woman of faith. I want us to notice to begin with that women of faith have real problems. They face real problems in life, and certainly Hannah did. We find that in verses 1 through 5, it begins saying that now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim and of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Eli, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would offer or give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. You see, Hannah had real problems in life. She was not able to have children and to bear children, and we find that the Lord had closed her womb. Not only that, we find that she had another problem as well. We continue our reading in verses 6 through 8. Her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed up her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" You see in this passage that although she had the great love of her husband, who obviously cared for her, gave her a double portion, tried to console and encourage her, was loving and kind to her, but nonetheless, she was troubled in her life. And so one of the first things that we notice with Hannah is that women of faith still have real problems in life. She's not able to have children, and she has a rival that provokes her over and over in her life. And so that's something for us to know. So what is the lesson then that we learn from that? Women of faith are not without problems in life. And some maybe in this life and today who are facing maybe some of the very same issues and no doubt have caused great distress in their lives. They want to be mothers maybe but are not able to currently. But certainly we see that it's often the case that the righteous suffer in some way, even as others do in life. We think about Job. We can look at Job and his life and what happened to him. And when we're introduced to Job, we read very quickly about the loss of the lives of his children, his possessions, his wealth, his friends, and on we could go. And so we could certainly see that it's not just with Hannah, someone who is trying to live a righteous life before God, but Job and others, and even today we see those around us. We in our own lives trying to be faithful unto God, and yet we still are faced with problems. And so many face these difficulties, as did Hannah, but also as did Sarah. Think about her with her handmaid, as she too was sore provoked and almost in the same situation in Genesis chapter 16. Job faced those same problems. Also the prophets did, the apostles did. Jesus faced problems and difficulties in his life. And therefore, women and men of faith, though not without problems in life, will learn to persevere. That's one of the great lessons that we certainly learn in this, is that we have to persevere. They're going to learn how to endure to the end. They're going to learn to maintain their faithfulness to God, even in the face of those insurmountable difficulties sometimes. Matthew 10:22, Revelation 2, and verse 10. But we should not let others deter us in our trust in God and cause us to lose our faith and cause us to lose our focus on God and His will for our lives. She was able to maintain her focus even facing those troubles in her life. She could have let her misfortune and her mistreatment cause her to begin to make excuses. Sometimes that's what happens to people in this life. But year after year, we read that Hannah continued to worship the Lord. And so it was year by year. We read in verse 7 there, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. That is, Peninnah provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. But she went up year after year. She's still continuing to worship the Lord. What helped Hannah to persevere through her problems, we find in our next point. And that is, women of faith pray fervent prayers. Notice Hannah's prayer that it was with, in verse 10, bitterness of soul and also weeping and anguish. You notice there in verse 10, this idea of the bitterness of soul, she is literally hurting. She is in anguish and pain. She is, in verse 11, her prayer was with an offer of a solemn vow. In verse 12, it was a persistent prayer. It was with her heart, verse 13, with her soul, verses 15 and 16. It was with faith in God's promise. So what is the lesson for us when we look at Hannah's prayer and all the characteristics that we see in it? We too can pray fervently. She put her heart and soul in her prayers. We read in James 5 and verse 16 that the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And so what we learn from that is that, number one, for our prayers to be effective, then we need to be a righteous people. We need to be enduring unto the end. We need to be persevering and not letting others around us deter our focus from our faith and our trust in God. So the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. But what we also learn is that we too can pray persistently. She was persistent in her prayer. She was praying steadfast, you might say, unto the Lord. We read in Colossians 4 and verse 2 that continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So our prayers of thanksgiving unto God, he says, continue in prayer. We need to be persistent in our prayers. And not only that, we too can pray faithfully, as did Hannah as well. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. What a beautiful thought. John writes in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, he says, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. What a beautiful thought. What a wonderful confidence that we can have that he, if we are asking according to his will and we are faithful unto him and we are fervent in our prayer and we are righteous in that way in the sight of God and we continue in prayer, we pray faithfully and we can have assurance, we can have confidence in our prayers unto God. And so one of the lessons that we learn is that women and men of faith believe in the efficacy of prayer. And so we continue then reading some more about Hannah. The third thing that we notice in this is that women of faith benefit from God's provisions. Notice with me verses 19 and 20. The Lord remembered her, is what we pick up at the end of verse 19. And then you read verse 20, so it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him from the Lord. In fact, that's what Samuel means, asked of the Lord. What a beautiful picture it is. And you get the idea that no doubt she was happy. She was excited about this. The process of time, the Bible tells us that she conceived and bore a son. Why? Because the Lord remembered her, verse 19. So what is the lesson then for us when we think about this? Number one, God may sometimes give us what we ask. As long as it's according to his will, as we read in 1 John 5, verse 14, we must abide in his word, being faithful unto him, John 15, verse 7. Selfish prayers are not going to be effective, James 4 and verse 3. God will also always provide what we need. And this is the beautiful part of this. When we think about how God answers prayer, he gives us what we need. Sometimes it may not be the thing for which we were looking, and sometimes it may be that we don't need that thing that we might have been asking for, but sometimes he has something so much better for us in store. But certainly for Hannah, she asked for a male child, and she says, because I've asked for him, that's what she actually named the child, Samuel. And it's a beautiful picture. And so she received just what she had asked for, but she remembered also that she had made a vow unto God. And so let's continue to read on. The next thing that we notice in this, number four, is that women of faith keep their promises. Back in verse 11, we read that she had made a vow. O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and forget not your maidservant, but I will give, he says, but will give your maidservant a male child. So that's what she's asking for. Then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. You can see a reference to the Nazarite vow there maybe as well. She planned to keep her promise, we see in verse 22. Let's notice together, and we want to read beginning there in verse 21. Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "Not until the child is weaned, then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever." So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word." Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. So we see there in verse 22 and 23, she had planned to keep her promise. It was never in her mind that she was not going to fulfill her vow unto the Lord. She had received a male child of the Lord, and she was going to keep her promise. She carried that out. Notice with me, if we keep reading, verse 24 through 28. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bulls, one ephah of flour, a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli and she said, "O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." And so they worshiped the Lord there. What a beautiful picture we see. You see, women of faith keep their promises, and certainly Hannah did just that. What's the lesson for us? We should not, number one, make any flippant vows. We should keep our vows, our promises, those especially unto God, but we have to keep our word. It's a matter of integrity. God has no pleasure in fools who do not keep their vows, we read from the wise man Solomon in Ecclesiastes 5, verses 4 and 5. And as Christians, our yes should be yes, our no should be no. Jesus taught us that in Matthew 5, verse 33 and following. And then we should worship the Lord. You see, this showed a grateful heart unto God, for even those things not yet seen is fulfilled. She made this vow, and if you'll do these things, and she planned to keep that vow, and she did just that. And then even in the what no doubt had to be difficult, leaving her son behind with Eli the priest to officiate there and to learn those things of the priesthood and to help there around. He was going to be a servant unto God, and to leave her son behind would have been a difficult task, would have been a difficult thing. But from the very beginning, she knew this is why she wanted a child. And it's a beautiful picture. And then they worshiped the Lord. You see, it shows a grateful heart. Even for those things maybe not yet seen or fulfilled or answered by God. But we're reminded in Colossians 3, verse 17, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks unto God the Father through Him." Again, Colossians 3:17. And so as men and women of faith, we keep our word and we worship God. Here's the last thought for this lesson. Women of faith, they praise God. We go to chapter 2 to see this point. Verses 1 through 10, but especially we want to focus on verses 1 and 2. But really all the way through verse 10, this is Hannah's prayer that she's praying here. And she gives praise unto God in this prayer. She does so with great joy in her heart. It says in verse 1, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God." All the things that she's gone through, the troubles that she had with her rival, and the trouble that she had not being able to conceive a child, all of those things, you know, you have to look at that. And when she says this prayer, she says, "My heart rejoices." It made her happy. And so much so that she could even smile at her enemies. I want you to think about that for just a moment and see how that might be applied in our lives. She goes on to express her praise for God throughout the rest of this prayer. And so I want you to go and take a moment to read that as well after this lesson is over. But what we learn is that the lesson that we learn here is that we need to learn to rejoice in the blessings received. And sometimes even long before these blessings are received, because we know the Lord has our best interest in His mind, that He cares for us, that He is concerned about us, and that the things that He has provided for us are the things that are best for us. That's Romans 8 and verse 28. We're taught to rejoice always. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16. Sometimes we will sing the song, "Count Your Many Blessings." And what are we told to do? Name them one by one. What does it do? It reminds us of just how blessed we truly are as a people of God, and how the Lord has truly answered our prayers and has blessed us and provided for us those things that we need in this life. But how much more so when we see the things that have blessed our lives and how God has truly done that we can rejoice and that we can praise His holy name because of that. Praising God with the fruit of our lips is how faithful women and men are able to express their gratitude unto God, Hebrews 13 and verse 5. But we learn some valuable lessons when we look at a woman of faith like Hannah. There are some real problems out there that each of us are facing, but we learn to persevere, to keep on keeping on. We persevere because we've learned that we continue to pray from our heart and from our soul in faith, knowing that God hears our prayers, hears our cries, as they sometimes may be, and provides just what we need in this life. We're blessed with great provisions from God, and therefore we offer our praise unto Him. Why? For He is good. He is great. And what a blessing He is every day in our lives. May you be blessed in your walk of faith and your walk with God. And may this lesson be one that would encourage you to be more faithful unto God. And especially as we look to Hannah and the lessons that we might learn from her life, she's not just a role model for women. She's an example to us all how we might live our lives faithful unto God in the face of persecution, in the face of troubles and trials in this life, in the face of all those things that surround us every day, the worries and the anxieties of life. We're reminded over and over that we can give those things unto God, and that we can pray and pray with thanksgiving, knowing that He answers our prayers. And that should provide for us peace that surpasses all understanding, that which would guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then we focus on those things that are good and just and holy and perfect, and those things that are of virtue and those things that are praiseworthy. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 8. We learn to rejoice and to rejoice always. A lesson on Hannah to remind us about our own faith. And maybe it's the case that you're just learning to walk in faith. What does that truly mean? You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. And that, as we begin to read and study God's Word, we learn about Jesus. We learn about what He has done for us and how God sent His only begotten Son to die for you and for me. And that's good news, because we can be saved from our sins. And we can repent of sin, and we're commanded to do so. And we can confess Jesus as the very Son of God, and we are in fact commanded to do that as well, that He would confess us before the Father in heaven, Matthew 10, 32 and 33, and then be baptized to put on Christ and to have our sins washed away in the very blood of Jesus Christ, Acts 2, verse 38, Acts 22, verse 16. That is our Lord's plan for saving us. And we can then begin to walk in that faith, in that system of faith, learning every day how He wants us to live our lives, learning every day what we need to be doing to be pleasing unto God, and learning every day as we begin to grow and study and praise God because of His Word and because of His wonderful works in our lives, then we ourselves will be growing, and we will be able to affect others around us for good, to be able to teach them the gospel, to be able to show them a better way, to be a light to our communities and to our neighbors around us and even to our families. And you think about a lesson like this reminds us about those women who are faithful unto God and what a blessing they truly are to those around them. And for us men as well, as we learn those great examples and learn how to walk to be pleasing unto God, we ourselves can be a benefit to those around us as well. And so I hope this lesson will be something that will benefit you, something that will help you walk closer to God. And if we can help you or assist in some way, reach out to us and let us know how we might do just that.